Hey everybody, this is Benjamin, aka The Terrible Australian, and welcome to the 136th episode of Super Podcast. I hope you're all doing very well today. Unfortunately, my regular co-host, Super Marcy, couldn't be here today because she was supposed to be here with us, but she had to drop out at the last second. But that's okay though, because I am joined by some really cool people who are going to be filling in as my co-host for today. And first up, of course, is B Harper. Hello, B. How are you?
Hello, boys.
Hello. How have you been, B? So it has been a while since you've been on the show, but we're glad that you're back. And what have you been up to since we last heard from you, B?
Well, I have graduated from my degree. I got
Woohoo!
myself a job. Yeah, woohoo!
Woohoo!
Finally. I'm currently working at the moment, so it is always wonderful to get some cash in without Centrelink having to have a word with
Exactly. Especially now, this day and age, but that's a whole type of conversation altogether, which could be its own
Oh,
episode of
yes.
the show.
A very boring conversation.
And we don't want to, make all of our listeners fall asleep. So,
Absolutely not.
no, we want to entertain them, damn it. But, but also, also joining us today is Chris Innes. Hello, Chris. How are you?
Hello, Bede. You're a stupid head.
Oh, Chris, is that you?
Yes, unfortunately, it is me.
Yes. And how have you been, Chris?
I've been pretty all right, pretty much. Busy with work and just whatnot, and yes.
Yeah, I know you've been working very hard as of late, Chris, but
Oh, very, very hard.
yes.
Ugh.
But somebody has to do
Somebody.
it. But well, for our 136th episode, we're going to be doing our annual look ahead to the year in films. And of course, being 2016, it's a whole new year, and that means a whole bunch of new movies will be coming out this year. And we thought that we'll do our annual tradition by sort of going over the year and talk about all the films that we're anticipating for this year. So, like we've done in previous years of this topic, what we're going to be doing is we're going to go through month by month of 2016, and sort of I'll read out all sort of the films that are coming out each month, and then we'll just pick and choose which films that we're looking forward to and have a bit of a discussion on each of them and why we're looking forward to them. And then of course at the end of the episode we'll kind of do a say a top five most anticipated films for the year. So we have a lot to talk about and a lot of films to discuss as well. So we'll get right into it. We'll pretty much skip January since January's already come and gone. So I think the only sort of big main movies that sort of came out of that month. And for all those wondering out there, the list that we're going to be reading from is the Wikipedia page for 2016 in film. So we'll be reading all the films off that, and of course that'll be for US releases instead of Australian ones. So pretty much we'll get right into it. Now, with January, of course, being, dump month in the US, pretty much, I guess, all the lower quality films usually come out. But there were, of course, a couple of films that did come out that month that did get some positive word of mouth, like Kung Fu Panda 2, The Finest Hours, and
Kung Fu Panda 2.
I mean, Kung Fu Panda 3, sorry.
Jeez, we just went back a couple of years.
Yeah, we're doing it. What was it? We're doing it. This is going back in time to 2012, but that's a whole
No, because you gotta still do your top 10 for that one, don't you?
Exactly. Which will be out next week, I promise. But
Next week, 20 years from today.
exactly. But
Don't make promises you can't keep, Steve.
I promise it'll come. Yes, my top 10 best and worst list of 2015 will be online next week. I just gotta write them all down. So, but anyways, yeah, so those were kind of the big main. Oh yeah, and also Michael Bay's new film 13 Hours. So those were kind of the big sort of main movies that sort of came out in January. And those ones haven't come out in Australia yet, but I think they're coming out sometime in the next few months, so keep a lookout for all those. So for this, so we're just going to go straight to February. And the films that are coming out in February this year will be, and I'm reading it off the list right now, is The Choice, Dad's Army, Hail Caesar, Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, Misconduct, Deadpool, How to Be Single, Zoolander Number 2, Tumble Down, Race, Risen, The Witch, Eddie the Eagle, Gods of Egypt, and Triple Nine. So, B, which out of all those films is one of your is your most anticipated for that month?
Okay. Well, I just want to preface this by saying I had the extreme pleasure of seeing The Witch earlier on today, on the day of this recording. So I won't speak at long length about that, but I really, really liked it. But I do have to confess that I am quite looking forward to Deadpool.
I think we're all looking forward to Deadpool because, well, this is probably like the truest adaptation of the character because, you know, the character did make his film debut in X-Men Origins Wolverine, but yeah, I think it's pretty much...
What film was that? I've never heard of that before.
What film of which you speak?
It's like this movie that had a guy with claws. I can't remember the name of it, but it had like an Aussie in it, but you know...
You mean the Wolverine? That was awesome. Yeah, I don't know about this origin crap you're talking about.
But yes, so pretty much we're sort of joking about it now, but it is pretty much common knowledge that Deadpool was pretty much bastardized in that version. But of course, but despite that, though, Ryan Reynolds was still perfect for that role. And I know when that movie came out, we were all kind of, it was going to happen eventually that a Deadpool film would happen. So it's taken a while, like 7 years, but it's finally coming, and as of next week, as a matter of fact. And Bea, why are you looking forward to Deadpool?
Okay, well, I just want to say right now, I don't know absolutely everything there is about Deadpool, but what I really, really love about the character is how different he is. Now, I can understand to some people he can come off as irritating with his very sort of a meta approach, because the guy breaks the fourth wall regularly, like he talks to you as the audience, be it the reader or the viewer, but he really has an interesting way of observing the world and, you know, saying aloud what a lot of us tend to think, but he has a very sort of uncensored version of it. He's kind of like the little devil on your shoulder, but a very, very, you know, very, very humorous one, you know. But also from the look of the trailers and from the very early buzz that the film has gotten, it is it honors the character very well. The film does the character justice. And, you know what? When you're trying to make a film about Deadpool, you really, really need to know what you're doing. If they made this film PG-13, it would not have worked at all. So I am so glad that they have decided to take the plunge and cut their losses and do everything they can to give Deadpool his due.
Awesome. And Chris, are you looking forward to Deadpool as well?
Yes, I am. Yes, and I know that sounds weird coming from my mouth, considering I think everybody knows my stance on Marvel films and Marvel comics, but which is absolute dislike and despisal. But look, Deadpool's something I like, not for the fact, like, look, forget it's a Marvel comic. I like it for the character, and it's basically what B's already said, is, you know, he's weird, he's funny, he's crude, he's violent. It's just what I like in a character. And I mean, he could have worked in any publisher, be it with IDW or Dark Horse, but he does gel quite well into the Marvel universe, particularly with the X-Men. And what we've seen already, this film makes reference to the X-Men with various characters and just odd little things. But like I said, for me, it's about the character of Deadpool. I think Ryan Reynolds is pretty perfect, although many years ago my idea of casting Deadpool was to do a kind of Darth Vader thing and have someone as the body, and Nolan North, who voices Deadpool in all the video games and TV cartoon shows, to come back as the voice. But I think going down the path with Ryan Reynolds is really good. And yeah, again, this film couldn't work as a PG-13 or an M-rated film. It has to be MA or R in the States, because that is Deadpool. It's like, you know, if you're adapting, which is what they did with Watchmen, you know, Watchmen had to be an MA-rated film. It couldn't be anything else. And to that idiotic American mother out there that was trying to make them tone it down for her 8-year-old, it's like, my question to her is, why the fuck is your 8-year-old child even reading Deadpool? Because you're a moron. Look, it's that age-old argument of, you know, just because it's a comic book film doesn't mean it's for kids or for teenagers. You know, this is a film that's for Deadpool fans, and I've been a Deadpool fan for day one, back in 91 when he was first leapt onto screen pages. So this is for us. It's a truer adaptation of the character, and I think it's going to be a very, very faithfully adapted comic book. So yeah, it's going to be bloody fantastic.
Marketing campaign that they've done for Deadpool is amazing. It is absolutely exemplary. And have you folks seen the PSAs about testicular cancer and breast cancer?
Oh yeah, the testicular one. Particular.
It is so good because, you know, it really does fit in with you know, Deadpool's own affliction, as well as the fact that this can potentially save lives. You know, perfect.
I think it's got a nice little kicker with the testicular cancer one, right at the end. How it's got that little voiceover at the end, and it's like gives the message, and it's like hashtag touch yourself tonight, and it's just like oh my god.
Yeah, the marketing for this film has been pretty amazing and very unique and original. I also love the Australia Day PSA that they did a while back as well, which was also pretty awesome. And definitely Deadpool is my most anticipated. There are other movies, of course, that are coming out that month that I'm looking forward to. But like B said, I saw The Witch at the Melbourne International Film Festival last year, and I highly recommend everyone to check that out when it gets released. But, you know, other ones I like to see, can't wait to see. Like, I'm curious about how Zoolander number 2 turns out, and also Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
That's actually, to be honest, Pride and Prejudice and Zombies is one of my highly anticipated films of the year, and I'm actually really, really glad because I had to remember the other week that it was February this year. Because I'm a massive, massive fan of the book. I've read both it and its prequel. And it just gives Jane Austen a powerful shit kick. And it's just like, yeah, this is awesome. And, you know, you can sit there and say, oh, yeah, it's just a rewrite of a great, well, so-called great novel. But there's a lot of reasoning behind certain events. I don't know if you guys have read it, but
I got it, but I haven't had a chance to read it yet.
Okay. But it gives real good reasoning behind certain characters' behaviours, like particular. I mean, we're all familiar with the story, but so Elizabeth's friend, Charlotte, particularly why she goes off and marries Mr. Collins. There's a very, very good reason behind that in the zombie version. And it's just so cool. You know, there's ninjas. It's probably one of the best zombie-related, because, look, zombies have been done to death. There's really nothing new you can do with zombies, to be fair, as a cinema. But this is just something different, and it's something fun. And I know the film itself has gone through a massive, massive production history, like with David O. Russell being on board and then Natalie Portman wanting to be in it. And I'm really, really glad they've got who they've got. You know, Burr Spears is really almost an indie filmmaker coming out. Charles Dance is perfect as Mr. Bennett. And Lily Jane is just going to be freaking awesome as Elizabeth. And I'm just so glad it's going to be MA here in Australia. Mm. And it's going to be gory, action, fun, awesomeness. And for once, I think, again, they've got the zombies looking right in terms of that nice blend of makeup / CGI. So, yeah.
Cool. And what about you, V? Are you looking forward to Pride and Prejudice and zombies?
Well, allow me to stand on my soapbox and say this. I am a huge fan of Jane Austen's Pride and Prejudice. I think it's one of the finest books ever written, one of the finest examples of women in literature. So you're seeing Pride and Prejudice with zombies is basically like the icing on an already really awesome cake. But that being said,
I'm not really one who goes for the zombie genre. It's not that I hate it, but it has been done over so many times. It's almost as if some films just tend to fall back on the merit that there are zombies in the movie. That being said, I have not read the book, and I feel I should remedy that, of course. But I also hope at least I do have a good time with the movie. I mean, you may have a really good cast, you may have some great people behind the camera, but you never know until you see the film.
Yeah.
And I really am hoping for a success. I don't want to go into the movie saying, oh, this is going to fail. I hope this fails. I need something to bitch about. But it's just, I just want to remain cautiously optimistic. But it still looks like a lot of fun.
And Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to it. And also, out this month is like the Coen brothers' new film Hail Caesar, which has been getting a lot of really good reviews, and also John Hillcoat, Aussie director, his new film Triple Nine's out this month as well, and it's got like a huge cast, like an all-star cast: Kate Winslet, Woody Harrelson, Gal Gadot, Anthony Mackie, Teresa Palmer, Casey Affleck, Clifton Collins Jr., Aaron.
This one to me kind of feels like another, I mean, it looks really, really good, but it's got that same vibe that The Town has, but with a lot more grit.
Yeah. Well, I haven't seen the trailers, but from what I hear, it's definitely.
It looks, it's pretty good, and it's nice to see John Hillcoat, I think, kind of step away from that slow-paced Western, which his last lot of films have really had. Mm. And I mean, look, you know, the proposition is masterpiece. The Road is a really, really good film, but I think he just kind of fell flat with his last one, Lawless. Mm. So I think it'll be nice to see him do a change of pace.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway.
Cool. And also I've heard good word about Eddie the Eagle with Hugh Jackman and Taron Egerton as well. So I've heard good things about that. So I'll be checking that out. But we'll move right along from February. We'll go into March. Knight of Cups is on this list, but I think that's for the US, but it did get released last year in Australia, so we won't talk about that one. But all the other ones that are coming out in March are London Has Fallen, The Other Side of the Door, Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, Zootopia, 10 Cloverfield Lane, The Brothers Grimsby, The Young Messiah, Divergent Series Allegiant, Midnight Special Miracles from Heaven, The Bronze, Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice, The Disappointments Room, I Saw the Light, and My Big Fat Greek Wedding. And I'll send it over to Chris because I know he really wants to talk about, in my opinion, his most anticipated movie of that month, which is my Big Fat Greek Wedding too. So tell us why you're looking forward to this one.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Stupid. No, it's just a small film called Batman versus Superman. This is, oh man, how to describe my feelings for this film? Just pure excitement. I think, you know, back when Man of Steel came out, they were talking about hints and, you know, the little Easter eggs in there. And I think this was still at a time where, film-wise, I enjoyed the characters separately. And I think just because I just enjoyed it so much in the comics of them crossing over and, you know, seeing what Marvel had done, it just kind of felt really blah. So I was letting that kind of cloud my judgment. And when they started to say, you know, oh, this is what's going to happen and blah, 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 I'm just starting to think, yeah, no, I'm getting excited because I went back and I would reread, you know, the Frank Miller Batman comics, which Dawn of Justice is very, very heavily based upon, particularly The Dark Knight Returns. And, yeah, the last, what is it now, 3 years has just been a massive, massive DC build-up fest for me. This is the moment, too, for DC really to shine because a lot of their cinematic history has been purely on Batman and Superman. And I don't think that's on any fault. It's just, I think they translate to the screen a little bit more easily when you're trying to make a big film than some of their others. And, you know, Green Lantern was an example of that, you know, them falling on their face. But I think, you know, again, they've given it in the hands of a really, really craft, really, I'm going to call him a genius because I think he is Zack Snyder. You know, he's a great director. The bulk of his films have been comic book related. And, you know, they're very, very faithful adaptions. And I think a lot of people forget too, you know, recent comments he's made, particularly about Man of Steel. he didn't ruin or bastardize Superman if you bothered to go out there and read the comics. And a lot of cinema goers, wouldn't do that unless it was Marvel. He didn't change anything about Superman comic book wise. He changed it in terms of the people that love and refuse to kind of get over the Christopher era film. Christopher Reeve era of films, which was this very lighthearted, very hopeful, very American, kind of. And, that's what Superman was stuck in a rut for a very, very long time, even up to Superman Returns. And he really gave it the revamp that it needed, which is, to treat it as a sci-fi because, he is an alien. He's not a human, and that's what everybody, all the other ones have tried to kind of do. And it's like, this guy's an alien. Let's ask those type of questions. I think it's going to be great to see Kal-El coming back and facing the consequences. Now, for a lot of fans out there that know, what happens in The Dark Knight Returns and the whole history with Batman and Superman and that, it's a really, really strong friendship. And, I've heard people say for them to finally come to blows the way the film has done it, rather than the comics, kind of doesn't have a backstory. But the approach that this film's taking, which is, and so many people badmouth Man of Steel for its ending, and I say shut up and be gone with you, because it gives a really great story point for this film and DC to take to open their cinematic universe with, which is coming to terms with something that has hit Earth so hard, which is the massive destruction of one of their cities by outsiders. This wasn't humanity versus an alien. This was, two aliens from the same planet basically duking it out. Yes, Superman had assistance from Earth, but it was basically him facing, one of the worst threats ever to come his way. And, these are two superpowers battling. And it gives a really good reason for Ben Affleck, who I think is just going to kill it, because he just looks perfect. He looks like a very seasoned and wearied Bruce Wayne. And the idea that, rather than doing a whole let's make him Batman begin again, it's like let's make him what he was in The Dark Knight Returns. He's old, he's retired. Well, not like old, but he's, much more older. He's seasoned, he's been through hell. He's hung up the cowl. He's suffered loss. And as the trailer showed, there's a Robin, a Robin has been killed. And if you're familiar with the comics, it's most likely Jason Todd with the second Robin. So there's all these little hints at what, the history of the Batman is already laid out. And, so we're not really going to be there following an origin story, which I think is a really cool approach. We'll get bits and pieces of past history, but, rather than waste time and relive a solo Batman movie all over again, I think it's just going to be great to see them clash. And it's a really, the destruction of Metropolis gives Batman a really good reason to come back out of retirement, because as I've understand, he is the only one that knows of Wonder Woman's existence, who is the only other member of the Justice League that's joining in the fight. So we're finally getting the Holy Trinity of DC's main roster on the big screen together. And, there's going to be Aquaman and Flash and Cyborg are going to pop up, but we don't know what capacity, be it right at the end. There's still so much. People are already jumping to conclusion that the trailers have showed so much of this film, but they're wrong. Zach's like, no. We've got way more to show, guys. This is like not even the tip of the iceberg. There's a whole new thing going on there. And it just looks, again, this looks just so faithful, and it's what DC does so well. And I think people forget this too. They adapt their comic books so perfectly. Yes, there might be the odd change. There might be the odd change in certain things, but they stick so faithful because they actually go out there, like with Chris Nolan and his Dark Knight trilogy, he actually went out and said, okay, so for example, for The Dark Knight, it's the Long Halloween and the Killing Joke that is massive influences on the story, as well as character. So they actually go out there and adapt their comics in a way. And this is doing it so well. There's iconic images in there. There's references, the armored up suit looks perfect. It's just going to fucking kill it. And like I said, it's going to, this is a film that's going to shut up a lot of people. It's going to put a lot of naysayers in their place because, you know, I hate to be a part of this whole DC versus Marvel film, but in all honesty, and I'm going to put this out there and come at me, internet, because I'm ready for a fight if you are. It's the Marvel fans that did start this because, yes, I know their thing started first, but and it's all those fans that jumped on it as movie fans. So, you know, people that jumped on the films, loved that, and then decided to go back if they chose to do the comics. They're the people that are seeing these films as films, not what they are. They don't know a lot of things if they don't already. And they're the ones that turned around and said, hey, DC, fuck you. We've got a whole bunch of, we've got all our films coming at us. Then we got the Avengers and then we got more films. You guys are just starting straight from the get-go. And, you know, as a massive DC fan, that kind of hurts. And you don't want to be drawn into that fight, but you kind of get forced in a way. But this film is going to shut a lot of people up, regardless of what critics say. I think it will be massively, massively entertaining. And it's just going to be, and again, DC don't make the same film 12 times. They do not follow a generic, yes, it may, you know, story structure or script structure. It may work over at Marvel for what they're doing and, you know, when with blockbusters, with the box office and all that other stuff. But when it comes down to it, you know, 12 films in, you're sitting there and you're like, yeah, I've seen this shit before, guys. Come up with something new. And DC will do that. And look, this is just going to be, me crying at Star Wars, me getting excited through Jurassic Park, just think of that times a billion. This is going to be, you'd want to be have the cinema cleared with me in it because I'm just going to go ape shit. This is, I've been waiting a very long time for something like this to come along, and I apologize for my extremely long rant, but it's just, yeah, it's going to be great. I'm really excited.
RB, can you follow that up?
Oh, I just got a huge flashback from Spectre. I'm getting hot flushes. I'm not a huge comic book fan, and I'm not a huge Superman fan, but in saying that, I do hope this movie succeeds. I hope it succeeds with the older audiences as well as the new ones. And Chris makes a point. I do like a fair few of the Marvel films, but I can definitely see there is a particular formula. Only perhaps 5 of them have really sort of stood out to me. But with the DC universe coming back into the live action circle after, you know, being in the animated canon for so long, it would be very refreshing to see about how they will be able to take on this this universe. And I'm not in the school of thought of saying, one versus the other. Like, I just want to appreciate, like, both studios on equal measure. But, yeah, I do have faith in Batman versus Superman, but I also hope the movie has faith in itself as well.
I'm really looking forward to it as well. I hope it ends up being a really good movie. I have a feeling it will, but I also think as long as it sort of delivers us being really entertaining and just being a really fun and engaging film where it finally brings, you know, two of DC's major characters together for the first time in a way that's just very thrilling, I'm definitely happy. So I'm looking forward to that. And out of also this month, what I'm looking forward to is, of course,
Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Well, of course, duh. But also, I'm looking forward to Midnight Special, which is the new film from Jeff Nichols, the director of Take Shelter and Mud. That's his newest film. And from what I hear, it's sort of like in the sort of the same vein as a John Carpenter film, particularly with Starman, which I'm really looking forward to. And of course, it's got a huge cast, Michael Shannon, Kristen Dunst, Adam Driver, Joel Edgerton, Sam Shepard, and that one definitely has me excited. And also, one that sort of just came out of nowhere is, I guess, the quote-unquote sequel to Cloverfield, 10 Cloverfield Lane, which kind of just came out of nowhere. Because I actually heard about this film when it was under a different title. I think it was either titled Valencia or The Cellar. And maybe that was kind of a ruse to throw people off that it was a kind of a Cloverfield sequel or spin-off or something like that. And then when, of course, that trailer hit, which was really good, and I'm really looking forward to see how it turns out. And, of course, you know, it stars my Mary Elizabeth Winstead, so I'm a big fan of hers. So, and, of course, she's my number one lady, so I have to go see the movie just for her.
Does she know that she's your number one lady?
She'll find out. She'll find out soon enough.
Okay, there's a word for us to behavior as being called a stalker.
Yeah, I think Taylor Swift had a run-in with you this weekend, Bede, so you better back off.
Fine. That'll explain all those harassment lawsuits I'd be getting as of all.
Yeah, but yeah. Better get on that, mate.
And, of course, Zootopia, mainly for the fact that they've been showing that trailer in front of every movie lately, and it's just like one scene from the movie.
Oh, the sloth.
The sloth scene, and that scene is just really hilarious. And
I think that's perfectly accurate. Like, I'm not never been to America, never been into a DMV, and I know, you know, people could say they have the same experiences in Australia with our various things, but yeah, that's pretty spot on, I think. That's like going into Centrelink.
I also spit out my water just then because that's so true.
Exactly. That's how funny I am.
Alrighty, we'll move along from March, and we'll go to April, which there's not really much that month, but I'll just run through it anyway. The ones that are coming out in April are Collide, God's Not Dead 2, Keeping Up with the Joneses, Rings, Amityville, The Reawakening, Green Room, Before I Wake, The Boss, Demolition, Barbershop, The Next Cut, Criminal, Elvis and Nixon, Everybody Wants Some, The Jungle Book, The Huntsman, Winter's War, Keanu, Mother's Day, Nine Lives, Ratchet and Clank, Same Kind of Different as Me, and Meet the Blacks. And for me, my most anticipated movie for that month, well, I got two, but the one is my number one definitely for that month is Everybody Wants Some, which, of course, is the newest film from Richard Linklater. And this one is kind of a quasi-sequel to Dazed and Confused, because it follows a bunch of college students in the early 1980s. And the fact that it's Richard Linklater, it's already got my attention anyway because he's a great director, so I'm definitely looking forward to that. And I'm also very curious with Jon Favreau's take on The Jungle Book, like based on the trailers and whatnot. Like the CG animation just looks phenomenal and very photorealistic. And pretty much everything from the character, other than the actor who plays Mowgli in the film, both the characters and the backgrounds are all entirely CGI and very realistic looking as well. And of course, it's got a huge all-star cast. Bill Murray, Ben Kingsley, Idris Elba, Lupita Nyong'o, Scarlett Johansson, Christopher Walken, and many, many more. And yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to that. B, is there any films from April that you're looking forward to see?
Oh, I am definitely curious, if not completely enthusiastic, about The Jungle Book. When I read that Christopher Walken was going to be King Louie, I automatically imagined him singing Louis' song from the Disney film. I was like, I wonder how that would sound in Walken's voice. Though I completely appreciate if it's not going to go in that direction. But, Rudyard Kipling's Jungle Book is one of the finest books ever written. And it's just got, you know, a lot of really dark and very gritty subject matter. And even though I do wonder as to whether or not how much they're going to incorporate in there, I am still genuinely curious. And also, Scarlett Johansson as Scar, you know, that's a very interesting choice. I would have to... I'm also very curious about Elvis versus Nixon.
Oh, yeah.
Where the hell is this coming from?
Michael Shannon as Elvis Presley. That's just like the most bizarre choice for an actor for a real life person ever. But somehow that makes me interested in seeing, like, Kevin Spacey as Nixon, I can see that. But Michael Shannon as Elvis, he doesn't look anything like him. But I want to see it for those reasons alone.
Well, Bruce Campbell didn't exactly look like Elvis Presley, but, you know, he worked for Baba Hotep.
Yeah, exactly. But Chris, is there any movies from April that you're looking forward to?
Look, to be honest, I'm going to say no, and I think that's because, one, I'm going to be going off on a high with Dawn of Justice, because one thing I should have mentioned earlier, Dawn of Justice coming out late in March. The Australian release date, even though I think it says the 24th, it will most likely be the day before, which is my birthday. So that just makes it even better. Cool. But yeah, no, I think I'm going to be too much on a high. But even looking at what's there, nothing interests me at all. I think I was the only person, like most of them I haven't really read too much into. I've maybe heard the odd thing. I'm probably the only person on the planet that watched that Jungle Book trailer and said, yeah, that's gonna, no thanks. I'll admit the only bit of great casting in that, oh, there's probably two. You got Ben Kingsley and Idris Elba, and I think for the two characters they're playing, that is really good casting. But I'm gonna say this, so again, internet and all you fuckwit fans, come at me, I'm ready for it. I'm not a Scarlett Johansson fan. I don't think she can. Yeah, shut up.
We hate you.
I don't think she's got much. Like, she's very flat-faced, very wooden. And just listening to that dialogue, again, yes, I know they're still in post and all of that, but I just couldn't get into it because, yeah, there was maybe a hiss but at the end, but it's too human. The animals, look, again, the CGI looks fantastic, and I think, you know, doing a great job creating the whole thing as CGI and mocap. But the animals look way too realistic for me to get involved. I mean, I'd happily watch the Disney film and read the book all over again, because this just, I don't know. I think you've got to have something a bit more creative in their looks, and just, it's just too real for me. And I think Disney's problem at the moment is, you know, all these big remakes of classic animated films is just falling flat on their face, because they're breaking a wheel that didn't need, or they're fixing a wheel that didn't need to be fixed. I mean, you know, regardless of what you think of a lot of those old cartoons from the 50s and that, they were fine the way they were. The changes, you know, Maleficent, that's a piece of crap. You don't pussify one of the most evil characters of all time in Disney's history. And fairy tale history too. So, to be honest, April for me is just a nah, whatever. Yeah.
Well, I'll put that in that place and say that I thought last year's like Disney animated film into live action film, Cinderella, was actually way better than
Cinderella was. Probably look, of all the ones they've done, and I actually really enjoyed Cinderella, and that's not just because Richard Madden was in it, and I was dazing into his eyes the whole time.
So dreamy. Anyways, that's all.
So dreamy. Right there. But that was well done because it stuck to the story. It stuck to what they, you know, well, it's not like, you know, Maleficent or Oz and they're just like, oh yeah, we're just gonna, you know, let's try something new. And it's like, no. You do this right or get fucked. So yeah.
Anyways, there's one more movie on here that I definitely want to see. I haven't seen the trailers for it, but just the whole premise of it sounds amazing. And I've heard great things from critic screenings and, like, you know, film festivals and whatnot. And that's Green Room, which is it's a film about a punk rock band who gets hired to play at a neo-Nazi bar. And then, of course, something goes wrong and they have to battle the neo-Nazis during the night. And it has Patrick Stewart as the head neo-Nazi.
Oh yeah, I haven't watched that trailer yet.
And yep, that definitely has me excited to check it out. But moving right along from April, what's May? Okay, May. This month, though, there's a lot more in this month. So the films that are coming out this month, of course, are Captain America: Civil War, Going in Style, Free State of Jones, Azar, Kidnap, Money Monster, Snowden, The Angry Birds Movie, Maggie's Plan, Neighbours 2, Sorority Rising, The Nice Guys, Alice Through the Looking Glass, X-Men Apocalypse, USS Indianapolis, Men of Courage. Oh, yeah, well, that's the last one for the month. So, B, which out of all those films is one of your most anticipated?
Okay, so hold on to your butts, boys, because B's got a big surprise.
Like surprises.
I like surprises. The Nice Guys. Shane Black, Russell Crowe, and Ryan Gosling. My goodness, the Red Band trailer.
Oh, Shane Black, my darling, my love, I have missed you so much. What I really love about Shane Black is how acerbic and acidic he is. Like, this is a man who doesn't believe in conventional happy endings. Like, this is a man who isn't afraid to be cynical and absolutely celebrate it. And a very interesting pairing indeed, Crow and Gosling. It's like, you know, you've got two birds, Crow and Gosling. Sorry, that was really lame. But it's just really, really fascinating. And I do have faith that these two guys can make Shane Black's writing work. I mean, you have Robert Downey Jr. and Val Kilmer and Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. That was one pairing I didn't think I saw coming. And when that movie came out, when I watched it, when I fell in love, I was just like, oh, yes. So with the Nice Guys, I do have faith.
Awesome. And what about you, Chris? What's your most anticipated film from that month?
I'm going to have to agree with The Nice Guys because, again, that Red Band trailer was just fucking hilarious. And, I mean, I love Russell Crowe. I like seeing him in different films. And I think in the last couple of years, like, because he's been working so much, like, you know, the fact that he was in Man of Steel was just so awesome. Because he is just, oh, Maximus. I will follow that man into battle and other things. it's a really interesting pairing. Again, like, you know, what B said with Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. You know, nobody saw that pairing coming, but I don't think even this one, anybody even considered it. And it's a bit of a nice little LA Confidential reunion between Kim Basinger and Russell Crowe in there. And, I mean, it's also nice to see Ryan Gosling be, you know, the type of guy that he is. I am interested in seeing if it does get a theatrical look here, the USS Indianapolis film, partly because as a history buff, which I really haven't shown as much over the years, I'm very interested in that story. I mean, a lot of people know it from Quint's story in Jaws. But I'm very interested in seeing how that pans out, considering who's in it. But the other one, I am keen on seeing Snowden. I am an Oliver Stone fan, but to be honest, since 2000, when Friday Night Live. Good.
Very different movie there.
Yeah. His football film, Any Given Sunday, came out. He really, really hasn't made a solid film. He's kind of lost the touch in the same way that Spielberg has lost his touch since Munich.
I've said it. You are wrong, my friend. Wrong,
I will fight
wrong.
You to the
All right.
Death.
I
will kick your.
I'm kicking you off the podcast right now. But anyway.
Okay, boys, get in your corner, settle down, drink your juice.
So, anyways, so hopefully this is a return to form for Oliver, considering, you know, its subject matter. So, again, just interesting to see how that'll pan out, but yeah.
I'm looking forward to Snowden and USS Minneapolis, and for one reason and one reason only, you want to know.
Nicolas Cage.
It's Nicolas Cage.
Oh, my God.
These are going to be the biggest hits of 2016.
Yeah, keep dreaming.
They're going to be up there with The Godfather as the greatest movies of all time. Because I'm Nicolas Cage, and people love movies. They're going to be greater than...
Hey, Bede, I thought you said we were going to entertain our viewers, not put them to sleep.
Nicolas Cage is entertaining. Yes, I am.
Yeah, he wishes
down.
He was.
That pipe down, Nicolas Cage. Okay. Anyways, for me
Good
personally, yeah, I'm looking forward to The Nice Guys. I haven't watched the trailer, and to be honest... I don't want to because I have a thing against Red Band trailers, especially for comedies. So I don't watch them for that reason because, you know, most Red Band trailers for comedies give away kind of the best stuff in them. I'm looking forward to it anyway because, I mean, it's Shane Black. I'm a big fan of his. So I'll see it just for him and him alone. Of course, Russell Crowe and Ryan Gosling. But other ones I'm looking forward to this month, of course, Captain America Civil War, which just looks insane.
Boo.
You shut your mouth. But anyways,
this was without saying, I think we can all agree that that movie will make a lot of money.
Yeah.
And it has been a heck of a build-up, so there are definitely people out there who are fans of the storyline who have been waiting for this.
Yeah, and of course,
yeah. But I got a strange feeling. Look, to be honest, and again, it goes with the fact that Marvel really doesn't adapt their comics. Like in the last couple of years, they have taken, you know, like with Age of Ultron, they took the titles and they do put things in. But you know, even the filmmakers admitted, like they wanted to make not, you know, basically what is the jumping start for the next Avengers film. They wanted to do a proper Captain America trilogy. And I think, again, they have changed so much that it's really not Civil War. It's just, yeah, I don't know. But to be honest, look, I did enjoy Winter Soldier and it's got that really good look, but it's just got so much of the rest of it that's just like, I don't know.
I think for me personally, the Captain America films have been, in my opinion, the best of both of them.
They have. Like, between them and the first Thor, they have maintained, and the first Iron Man as well, they've been their best ones because they have stood out in a way. But look, this just feels like, you know, it's, to me, it's generic Marvel film number 12, and it is just like, you know, well, you could have just done the Avengers 3. Because that's what it feels like.
Well, I think it's going to be a film that's going to really focus on, even though, yeah, it's got practically nearly everybody in the Marvel universe is in this one. But I still think in the end it is.
Which is where all their budget went on their cast. And that's why they have cheap ass effects.
Oh! You shut your mouth. But anyways.
Hey, we are going to get Black Panther finally after all this time.
Exactly.
I will admit Black Panther looks freaking awesome.
And it's bringing William Hurt in it as Thunderbolt Ross, and that finally gives the Incredible Hulk some legitimacy in this universe, damn it.
Yeah, but it makes you have to remember that. Even Quantum of Solace had more sustenance than that crap.
I thought I was going to get hate mail, but nope, Chris is going to get all of it today. But anyways, like I said, I think it's in the end, it's still going to be Captain America's story in the end, and he is still going to be the main focus. And of course, you know, his relationship with Bucky Barnes is going to be the aka the Winter Soldier.
Can I just say, to all you fangirls and boys out there, please just acknowledge that they are buddies and that bromances are things. Don't turn them into something else, because it's really annoying to see things when you're scrolling. Look, I get, you know, you've got your own twisted fantasies and all of that stuff, particularly certain members that I, people that I know about with The Force Awakens and two characters. be as guilty of that. with Marcy.
Ooh, that's fighting words. Anyway,
but please just see this as, you know, a friendship and nothing that it never was or shouldn't be. And I know saying something like that in this day and age, you shouldn't, because we all got to be big and happy and accepting of everyone else. But please don't, because I'm saying this as a big comic book fan. Someone that has basically from, you know, the age of three been in this world and have know these characters almost inside out. It's kind of a bit of a really, yes, maybe it's a change and it's a really odd change and it's just getting used to the times, but it's not who these characters are. So please, and I know I'm just going off on a side note here, but please don't see the Bucky Steve Rogers thing as anything other than they're really good friends, because you just get a
really good friend.
Yeah, shut up, you.
You know, Chris.
Look,
so
they're just,
you know.
Yes,
I love watching you squirm.
Yeah, I know it makes me squirm, but you know, there's only so far that you can push me to the point that, you know, yeah, you don't want to see me snap from this, because I'll destroy you all.
Well, don't read my make sure you don't read my Captain America Bucky Barnes fan fiction.
Oh god.
So, I need to read this. You got to send it.
I think fan fiction is great, the idea behind it is great, but it
misused for wrong reasons, and because of that, we now have pieces of crap like 50 Shades. So just be warned, people.
So I can make billions of dollars out. Yes. Anyways, other than that, other than those movies, of course, like I'm not. Well, won't move because I'll just bring this up quickly because we've got a lot of movies to talk about. X-Men Apocalypse. I mean, the trailer wasn't great, but I'm still looking forward to it anyway. So, oh, you be quiet.
Surprise, anyway. That man is going to shine bright in the sky.
Oscar the only Isaac. Thing that's going to succeed in that film is Oscar Isaac because it's not his fault that they made him look like Ivan Ooze. For anyone out there under the age of 20, I'm talking about Power Rangers. Which is awesome, but he's perfect, and I'm even tempted to go see that just for him, and then just nap the rest of it.
Well, anyways, we'll move right along, because it's starting to get very heated now. But
I'm starting to show a whole new side to me.
But
talk about Captain America and Winter Soldier, it really does do wonders, doesn't it?
Exactly. But to be fair, when things get heated, that's when our numbers go up on our listeners. So there you go. But it's all in good fun, but we're not being too serious. We're having just good fun about it. But we'll move right along to June, because we're at the halfway point now. Movies coming out this month are Connor for Real, Me Before You, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows, The Conjuring 2, Now You See Me 2, Warcraft, Shut-In, Central Intelligence, Finding Dory, and Independence Day Resurgence, and The Shallows. So, Chris, which is your most anticipated film for that month?
I've got actually three for this month, because... You know, obviously, two of them are from my childhood, and one of them is from my obsession with horror and the occult and ghosts and spirits and shit. So I'm going to just list them and then give a brief. So obviously, Ninja Turtles 2, The Conjuring 2, and Warcraft. Obviously, you know, again, Ninja Turtles is one of my very, very early passions. Again, it's something I've been into since I was about three. And as much of a bit of a mess the first film was, you know, there's still some enjoyment out of it. I think this one, judging from the first trailer, again, you know, it's the first look we've really had at it. I think they've kind of fixed up the mistakes they made. Because the first film, they went into it thinking, yeah, we're going to have a white Shredder. And their problem was they removed everything Japanese from that. And, you know, adding in a Japanese Shredder, you know, a Japanese actor to play Shredder, that was all done in post-production with reshoots. And you can tell it's a very muddled film, but it still had some moments. And I think the sequel, it's got a new director, all of the same cast is back with the inclusion of Casey Jones, who's played by Arrow's Stephen Amell, who I think will be okay. And the big thing, I think, why people should be excited of this film is Bebop and Rocksteady finally come to the big screen, and they look amazing. The trailer just makes it look really cool. You know, the fact that the foot are now ninjas, thank God, another big sin that the first film made. You know, the other one is Brian T, I think, is going to do amazingly as Shredder. He looks the part, even though we haven't seen some really good images of him with the helmet, which is what I want to see more of, because Shredder is my all-time favorite character. And it's just going to be, I think it's just going to be, it's going to be one of those sequels that fixes the first film, but I got a strange feeling it's not going to be that apologetic, but in a very fun and cool way. You know, the fact, yeah, I think they're just more homages to the cartoons. The other one, obviously, The Conjuring 2. I loved the first film, and I would love to watch it again. I mean, it does star B's doppelganger, who is just amazing in that role. It deals with things, particularly that first film deals with things that I'm obsessed with, which is, you know, and again, something that not many people get to know about from me, witchcraft and all of that type of really gothic cool stuff. And that trailer, look, the first film is probably the first film in 20 years, which was probably when I saw The Exorcist and Witches for the first time. It was the first film to scare the shit out of me. The fact that I was, you know, jumping and scared of going to sleep. Like, I've not been that terrified of a film. And the trailer for the new one looks amazing. And I just can't wait for it. And the other, of course, Warcraft. With fans of Warcraft, again, not many people know I'm a Warcraft man. I'm a Gen 1 Warcrafter. I haven't really played the game since the original came out in the mid-90s. So my mate and I, Riley Post, giving you a shout-out, buddy, we spent forever playing this game on the computer. And it's 10 years pretty much since it was announced that I've been waiting for this film. And I'm so glad it's Duncan Jones making it because he's a very gifted filmmaker. And I think there's going to be a nice little footnote at the end of the film with a dedication to his late father who's passed away recently. It just looks fantastic. It's going to be the beginning of a resurgence of video games in cinema because, you know, after the disaster of Super Mario Brothers, it basically put a curse on anything video games, and nobody's really adapted unless you're Ooh Fucking Bowl, douchebag, and basically ruined that. So I think this is going to be something different. This is going to give life to the video game cinema once more, and it's just going to, it looks beautiful. The mocap and everything looks divine. So they're the three that I'm desperate to see. To be honest, I couldn't give a crap about Finding Dory because that's a sequel we didn't need. And same with Independence Day 2. That's a sequel we did not need. As much as I enjoyed the original, the biggest sin that they've done with this is they've replaced, and it's an insult to the original actress who played her, they've replaced Maya Whitman. So her character, who was the president's daughter in the original, comes back, but it's not Maya Whitman. And they've replaced it with someone that doesn't even, you wouldn't even believe that young Maya Whitman would have grown up into this blonde, skinny bimbo. And it's like, that's an insult to the actress. And it just looks crap. So,
well, to be fair, the actress who's replaced Micah Monroe, she was terrific in both The Guest and It Follows. Like, I agreed, I would have preferred.
I know she's got good, but it's just, it's an insult. It's like what they've done with Powerpuff Girls. You know, they did with this new research, the new show that's going to come out. They didn't even bother going back and asking the original cast, you know, and it's with voice actors particularly, you've got to give them justice, like with the Teen Titans. They've honored them enough to bring them back for Teen Titans Go, which is awesome. But it's a slap into the face to the people that made these characters. So, and I would not believe that that character, the Maya Whitman character from Independence Day, could grow up into who they've got. So, yeah, I'm thinking a little too far into that, making it like it's a real thing, but yeah. Anyways. Go on, or I won't shut up.
B, is there any films from this month that you're looking forward to?
Oh, I certainly agree with seeing The Conjuring 2 and Warcraft. What I find very intriguing about Warcraft is I'm not very well versed in the lore, even though I'm fully aware that the lore is absolutely gargantuan. And I think that's where this film may succeed. It actually does have a huge background behind it. It's not like Mortal Kombat when you have like a bunch of people who come and fight, or, you know, Resident Evil that involves like, you know, monsters and shit. No, like Warcraft has a legitimate sort of a mythology going on behind it. And I am very fascinated as to how Duncan Jones plans on putting this on the screen. I am very optimistic towards it, but I'm also incredibly cautious. Conjuring 2, yeah, I really, really like the first one. It works so well purely as an atmospheric piece. Like, it was very well acted, but a lot of the tension just came from, you know, what you don't see. What you don't see in that movie is some of the most horrifying moments of the film. So hopefully, fingers crossed, The Conjuring 2 also delivers on this promise. And I'm fairly certain it will, because James Wan is a very, very competent horror director.
Awesome. I pretty much agree. I'm looking forward to The Conjuring 2. It's been one of my favourite horror films. Well, the first film was been one of my favourite horror films in this past decade. Also, I am looking forward to Ninja Turtles 2. And as well as... I'm curious about Warcraft. I wasn't entirely sold on the trailer, but it still had my interest enough, because mainly for Duncan Jones and whatnot. But, yeah, it's pretty much no other movie this month is going to measure up to the epicness that is Independence Day Resurgence. Screw all the haters. This movie's
going
to be... Oh, you be quiet. It's going to be
You say that
the
like
best.
3 times already it's not happened.
It's got Jeff Goldblum and it's going to be awesome.
It's not Independence Day unless Will Smith's in it, and I think he made the correct call by not doing it to be in something that's going to be even cooler. And again, the other thing that pissed me off about this is they've given, you know, they've basically killed him off. You don't do that to Steve Heller. When you're going to make an Independence Day sequel, you wait for Will. You say, Will Smith, we'd like you to be in this. Oh, sorry, I'm doing this other really cool movie that's going to shit all over you. Oh, that's all right, man. We'll wait for you. Oh, cool. Thanks, man. My movie that I'm doing now is going to kick your ass, but still, we'll do it then. Yeah. Well,
no, didn't he not want to come back? Because I'm pretty sure he said he didn't want to come back.
He didn't want to come back. But look, to be honest, you don't make an Independence Day sequel without Will Smith. It's like doing Bad Boys. You know, you don't do them without Will Smith.
Martin Lawrence, but you know, that's...
You could do it without Martin Lawrence. you could put me in there and it'd be Hollywood gold.
But I can see what you mean. But you don't.
I think you still don't do it, and especially they've killed the character off. It's like when they're making a movie and an actor drops out for various reasons, like with Men in Black 3, and they just kind of replace them, and then they write them out and they kill them off. Like Indy 4, which doesn't exist, is a perfect example. You know, just because Sean Connery didn't come back. Because he's, you know, smart and was too busy playing golf. They just killed it. Rather than write in a little side note of saying, oh, he's happy living life in Ireland or somewhere, he's dead. It's like, oh, okay. So it's another slap in the face to that character and the actor by just saying, yeah, we just killed them off.
Well, to be fair, I think mainly because people would expect him to come back anyway. Like, people would be like,
yeah, I know, and it's a good reason. It's a nice little thing to say. It's a good reason to say why, but it's just a common thing in films now when someone doesn't want to come back, it's like, yeah, we'll just kill them off. And a character as iconic as Stephen Hiller, I mean, look, Independence Day hasn't aged very well, and in a way, it's kind of gone the way of... Avatar and the fact that, you know, nobody, unless you grew up with it, really remembers it. There's no action figures anymore. There's no cosplayers at cons. There's no great need for it. It's kind of just, I think, making a sequel for the sake of making a sequel. And if you're not going to bring back, you know, the guy that really made that movie successful, don't bother. Because, yeah, just Roland Emmerich, he's a good filmmaker and he can be again. It's just, yeah.
I don't care. This movie's going to rock. But anyways...
That's because you got a bonus of Goldblum.
Who doesn't? but we'll move right along to July. And...
God, I'm getting very angry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, guys. I'm...
Yes, you have a lot to say.
I'm angry.
You just have a lot to say.
This is what happens when your father is, you know, the king of all monsters, man. It's just...
Yep. You just want to breathe fire all the time, but we'll move right along because
Tokyo so I can smash it.
But we do have a lot to talk about, so we might just go through some of these films as quickly as we possibly can, especially our thoughts on them. We'll go into July, and the movies out this month are The BFG, The Purge 3, The Legend of Tarzan, Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates, The Secret Life of Pets, Ghostbusters, La La Land, The Lake, Lights Out, Ice Age Collision Course, Star Trek Beyond Genius, The Space Between Us, and the untitled Fifth Born film, which I hope is really the title for that movie, because that'd be hilarious. But B, what films are you most looking forward to for July?
Okay, very quickly. BFG, Legend of Tarzan, and I don't care what anybody says, I am genuinely curious about all-woman Ghostbusters.
Same here. Chris, what about you?
Look, this is kind of like April for me, but I have a vague interest in some. I am curious about the BFG because I love the story and it could be good. Legend of Tarzan, that trailer looked really, really good and it's got Christoph Waltz in it. So, yeah. And I'll admit, as much as I'm not a fan of how they did this, you know, again, I am interested in seeing Ghostbusters, but
you know, when you have the original cast showing up not as who they were, unless it's a big, you know, secret. Yeah, I think it could be good, but it's something that I'm very curious to see.
All righty. Well, I'm excited for, if I had to pick out of all these ones, definitely the BFG, because I'm a big Spielberg fan, so I'll watch anything that he makes. Ghostbusters, of course. La La Land, which is the new film directed by Damien Chazelle, who wrote and directed the fantastic Whiplash. So that's his latest film. And also Lights Out, which is, you know, that short horror film that had that sort of really creepy, like...
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah, that's the one where, like, that woman sees, like, some kind of figure in the doorway,
yeah,
and
yeah,
every
yeah.
time the lights go on and off, that's the movie version of that. And also, James Wan is a producer on it. So mm-hmm. they've expanded feature film, so I'm curious to see how that turns out. Star Trek Beyond, I'm interested as well, and of course, you know, the Bourne film, the fifth Bourne film, because it's Bourne, and it's Matt Damon and Paul Greengrass back to the franchise, and I'm definitely curious to see how it turns out. Moving right along to August, we'll probably have a lot to say apart, especially about one film in particular. And the ones that will be released in this month are Suicide Squad, Ben-Hur, Pete's Dragon, Sausage Party, Spectral. I knew that was going to get a laugh somewhere. Arms and the Dudes, Kubo and the Two Strings, Bad Moms, A Man in the Dark, Mechanic Resurrection, and The Infiltrator. Chris, what is the most anticipated film of this list? And please, please... please tell me it's Bad Moms.
No, you're wrong.
Sausage Party.
Yeah, funny. No, it's actually two films. Pete's Dragon, because I love Pete's Dragon, and I'm very, very curious to see what they do with this film, considering who's in it, and I love dragons, and I'm very keen to see what the dragon actually looks like. But it is the year of the DC comics, and that film is Suicide Squad. I've been waiting, again, a very long time for this film. This is basically, you know, DC's rotten eggs all in one basket, to quote Michael Myers. And this is just going to be a film that is batshit crazy. You know, you got Harley Quinn, you got Will Smith, woohoo, his Deadshot. You got one of my all-time favorite DC villains. You got Killer Croc in there. I love his look. Oh, my God. This film is just going to be, like I said, batshit crazy. You watch the trailers. It's insane. Oh, my God. David Ayer, I think, it was the perfect person to come in. You know, yes, a lot of people are criticizing the look of the characters, but they still are very, you know, based on their comics. It's just given a slight David Ayer twist. The cast is just phenomenal, and I think the inclusion of Jared Leto as the Joker is going to be insane. And we were all very, very surprised, because we all thought it was going to be a rumor, but it was real. But Batman will be in it as well, so, you know, we get two films with Batman in it, which is amazing. So, you know, again, it's paying homage to the comics and the fact of it's going to really explore the Joker-Batman relationship. So this will be set before the events of Dawn of Justice. So, you know, it's also tying into that mythology of, you know, why the Batman retired. You know, his history with the Joker, the fact that the Joker is the only villain out there that encountered the Batman and survived, and the fact that he's got a broken teeth with a grill, tattoos and everything, and he's that fucked up, shows he's got a history with the Bat. And it's going to be great. Harley looks great. Killer Croc is just, it's going to fucking kill it. It's David Ayer, I think, summed it up perfectly in saying it's comic book movie 2.0, as in it's really going to spin comic books in the way that I think Deadpool will. But I have a strange feeling this is going to do it much more twisted, because, you know, again, they're not good guys. These are bad guys. You know, in the latest trailer, you know, they're going through the roster of them. It's like Deadshot, he kills people. he's a crocodile. He eats people. This one's a witch, and that chick's just crazy. So, you know, these are good people. And if you've read the comics, no matter, yes, they're made to do good in a way, but they're made to do it at the cost of their own life. Amanda Waller has no intention of letting these guys, yeah, I'm going to let you go do this mission and you'll be free. They're attached with a fucking bomb to their head, like internally. And if they fuck up, it's all on them. So it's just going to, oh, going to be so, so cool. So cool.
Awesome. What about you, B? What movies are you most anticipated from August?
Well, I was going to say Suicide Squad, but Chris's essay summed it up quite well.
That's the real reason why you're looking forward to this movie, B. It's a certain guy by the name of Jai and his mutton chops.
Well, you know what? I don't care what anybody says. I think Jai Courtney could be a really good part of the movie. Like, it's a very good ensemble. I like how the film doesn't seem to necessarily going to be paying attention with one particular character. Like, everyone's going to have their moment to shine. And yeah, I totally agree that Jared Leto could very well be one of the best parts of the film. I wrote a really huge analysis for a Wolf and a Gorilla series to why I think the character will work. But also, I just want to confess something. Just based on the trailers, I thought that the Suicide Squad looks more like my speed than Dawn of Justice, because it just looks absolutely insane. And I love myself some bad guys. I love crazy stuff. So, yes, I'm definitely looking forward to Suicide Squad in a nutshell.
Awesome. Good. Well, that's going to appeal to a lot more fans today, because, like you said, it's batshit crazy, it's bad guys, and that's what we want to see. I think even when the Comic-Con trailer dropped, it was more watched than anything, even Dawn of Justice, and that's when people, again, this was a film that people are going to be like, oh, no, we need backstory, we need an individual film for all of the characters, oh, it's not going to work. And as soon as the trailers have hit, people are like, again, like what Dawn of Justice is going to do, this is going to shut people up, like, permanently with a baseball bat to your fucking skull.
And also, I also really need to applaud the Suicide Squad for finally putting Amanda Waller into the cinematic universe. Amanda Waller is one of the best badass villains in the DC canon. So, yes, Viola Davis, strangle the shit out of it!
Yes, in Viola we trust. But didn't Angela Bassett play Amanda Waller in the Green Lantern movie? I'm pretty sure she did.
Yeah, she did, but we don't remember.
Yeah, but that's
that.
Not canon. That's not canon anymore, so we'll move. definitely Suicide Squad, my most anticipated for that month. But actually, I'm going to say this. My second most anticipated film of that month is Kubo and the Two Strings. I don't know if you guys have seen the trailer, but it's the newest stop-motion animated film from Laika, who did Coraline, The Box Trolls, and also Paranorman. This is their latest one, and it's got a big cast. Matthew McConaughey, Rooney Mara, Charlize Theron, who plays a monkey, Ralph Fiennes. Wow. Yes. And if you haven't seen the trailers, go watch them after this show. They are amazing. Like, really, really fantastic. And that's definitely one of my most anticipated films for this year as well. Moving right along. Well, there's also some other ones there, but we have so much, we don't have much time left. So we'll move right along to September. Not really much this month in terms, because, again, there's still a lot of films that haven't been announced yet, so it's not as big as it could be. But definitely the ones that are out this month are Patient Zero, Sully, Bridget Jones's Baby, When the Bow Breaks, The Cure for Wellness, The Magnificent Seven, Storks, Besties, Deepwater Horizon, and Masterminds. And I'm definitely looking forward to The Magnificent Seven because Antoine Fuqua is directing it, and it has a big all-star cast. Denzel Washington, Chris Pratt, Ethan Hawke, Vincent D'Onofrio, Bong Hung Lee, Peter Sarsgaard, and so many more. And also Sully, which is the latest film from Clint Eastwood. So I'm looking forward to those. So we'll move right on. And also Deepwater Horizon, which is Peter Berg's new film with Mark Wahlberg and Kurt Russell. So, and also looking on here, John Malkovich and Kate Hudson as well. So there's quite a lot there. I don't know if anyone has any particular ones that they're looking forward to from this list. Say now or forever hold.
I'm just going to say Magnificent Seven. I mean, look, it's a remake of a remake of a really, really fantastic samurai film. So
I think I was a bit skeptical, but I do enjoy Antoine Fuqua, even though he's still very an underrated filmmaker. I think because he's just made some really interesting films. Training Day has still been his best. But the cast is really good. And also the fact, I think what I'm very, very interested in seeing is, or listening to actually, is the final score of the late, great composer James Horner, who wrote the score for this film before it went into production, like when they filming. And after his death, it was presented to Fuqua by his friends and family as a final send-off. So this will be, again, like what Warcraft will be, a farewell to someone in the arts that we've lost. So I think it'll, regardless of what this film will be, it will be very fondly remembered for the score, and I think it will be good. So, yeah.
Cool. And what about you, B? Anything that stand out for you for September?
Nothing in particular, but just judging from the cast of The Magnificent Seven and the caliber of talent involved, I think it will be a lovely swan song for James Horner's work, because that man's work has been absolutely influential. So what better way to send him off with than like a grandiose sort of Western, you know?
Yep, I agree. And we'll move right along to October. And the ones that are films that are coming out this month are The Accountant, The Girl on the Train, Middle School, The Worst Years of My Life, which sounds like my title for my autobiography, Monster High, The Bye Bye Man, Inferno, Kevin Hart, What Now, A Monster's Call, Underworld Next Generation, Boo, A Madea Halloween, Ouija 2, and Jack Reacher Never Go Back. And B, is there anything from this month you're looking forward to? And please, please, let it be Boo, A Madea Halloween.
Oh, God.
Oh, you know what? I am way too much of a polite person to curse you on Airbead, so I'm just going to leave that question hanging.
You're just giving me the middle finger right
now. But I'm sorry, I couldn't quite hear the earlier part of the list. What was the first part of it?
It was The Accountant, which is Gavin O'Connor's latest film starring Ben Affleck, The Girl on the Train.
Yes, The Girl on the Train. Like, I have read the book, and it is very, very interesting. I'm not quite sure if you two gents have read it.
I haven't read it.
I haven't read it, but I know of it.
I know of it, but I haven't read it, but I've heard good things about it, though.
Yes, I do hope the film...
changed the location.
Oh, yeah. Well, I do hope the film encapsulates the general overall sensation of the book, because it's one of those sleeper... stories that really sort of get under your skin. So I do hope the film adaptation does that successfully, more or less.
Cool. And of course, it has Emily Blunt and Rebecca Ferguson, which in my mind is definitely makes it a must-see as well.
Rebecca Ferguson.
And also Luke Evans, which is one of your crushes, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, you would have more of a chance with him than me.
Well, that is very true. And he's very dreamy, I'll just say that. But that's a whole different...
Wait, is that Woody?
No, Luke Evans.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Would have more of a chance with you. Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
I thought he was... Oh. Well, there you go, folks. I just learned something new.
Yes, but for me, what about you, Chris? Anything from this month that stands out to you?
Well, I think as Marcy's not here, I think I've got to say that Monster High movie, which is actually based on the Dolls, but no, I just had a quick look. There's next to nothing up there, so that'll be keen to see what happens. But I'm interested in the Jack Reacher sequel. I was surprised. I've never read the books, but I really enjoyed that first film, and I do love me some Tom Cruise. There was another film you mentioned.
A Monster's Call, which I'm surprised.
Oh, yes. Mentioned. Oh, yeah. Sorry, that's what I was going to say. A Monster's Call. That teaser trailer. And it's by one of my favorite Spanish directors of all time, who thankfully has given up on that stupid idea of doing a sequel for World War crap. This film is just going to be fantastic. Like, this is Liam Neeson as the voice of this giant tree monster. It's going to be epically, fantastically, gothically freaking awesome. Yeah. And the voice is just, Liam Neeson. So awesome.
Cool. I guess my most anticipated, of course, is Boo, a Madea Halloween. No, I'm just kidding.
Start co-starring Grumpy Cat.
Actually, I'd say The Girl on the Train because it does sound really interesting. And, of course, A Monster's Call. And, of course, Jack Reacher Never Go Back. Those would be my anticipate for that month. Now, we'll move on to November, which is appropriate because this is my birthday month.
Boo.
I'll boo you. Anyways, out of this month... the films that will be coming out this month are Bastards, Doctor Strange, Trolls, Billy Lynn's Long Halftime Walk, Maya's Christmas, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, Bad Santa 2, The Great War, Moana, and The Founder. B, what films out from this month are you most looking forward to?
Oh, I am most certainly curious about Doctor Strange. They've got a very interesting cast in their little attaché case. I mean, Benedict Cumberbatch as Stephen Strange, Tilda Swinton as the Ancient One. I mean, what? Tilda Swinton? Oh, my God. Mads Mikkelsen in a as-of-yet undisclosed role, though a part of me is probably hoping Dormammu, but, you know, nothing has been confirmed. But it's another one of those characters that hasn't necessarily seen the light of the A-string. Like, he's more or less an accessory sort of character. And, you know, maybe, just maybe... Doctor Strange will be a genuinely good movie. I mean, if Ant-Man was able to overcome whatever stigma it was working with, as well as, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy, Doctor Strange might have that power.
Cool. And anything else from that month, B, that you're looking forward to?
No, sir. Just Doctor Strange.
Alrighty. Chris, what about you? Anything stand out for you from this month?
Absolutely nothing.
Well, that's a shame because there's quite a lot in this list that I'm looking forward to. Of course, Doctor Strange, which I'm really curious to see how that turns out. And I don't know much about Doctor Strange, but I know the basics pretty much. But but from what I've heard, he does sound like a really interesting character. And the fact that they're sort of more exploring the supernatural kind of magic side of the Marvel Universe definitely has me very intrigued. One of the other ones is, which I know you probably both haven't heard of, is Billy Lynn's Long Halftime Walk. That's the latest film from director Ang Lee. And it has probably the most bizarre cast you'll find assembled for a film in 2016, which is Garrett Hedlund, Kristen Stewart, Vin Diesel, Steve Martin, and Chris Tucker. But I've heard the book that the movie's based on is actually excellent, and I look forward to seeing. And I'm a big fan of Ang Lee as a director, so I'm definitely curious to see that film. And also, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. I'm curious to see how this sort of kind of prequel / spin-off to the Harry Potter films is going to hold up. But hopefully, it turns out really well. Pretty much all the same.
It'll suck.
Oh, you be quiet. Anyways, but the same sort of creative team behind the series is involved with this one, and it has a pretty...
Which is why it will suck, because David Yates, and yes, I know he's behind Tarzan, but he's a very terrible director.
Oh, you...
And I've put that out there, Harry Potter people, so come at me.
I'm coming at you right now, but anyways...
You're going to be running out of bullets.
We're so going to get so much hate mail for this episode, but those are the ones I'm definitely looking forward to. And now we'll go right along. Actually, our last month for the year. There's not much on this one because, again, it's still very early, but there's definitely some very intriguing titles, to say the least. The ones that will be out in December, as we know of at this very moment, are The Strangers 2, Let It Snow, Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, Assassin's Creed, Passengers, Sing, Miss Peregrine's Home for Particular Children, and Nation Awakes. And Chris, there's one movie on this list I know.
That's kind of been a common trend. What the hell am I doing? Common trend with this thing. There's one month with something for me. Yes, I'm actually very, 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 very excited for Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. And look, I think the idea of doing spin-off films for Star Wars is a very, very, very risky move because unless it's offering us something new, it's not going to work. And to be honest, I think Rogue One has the potential to do very, very well because, one, any character from the Star Wars that's in existence in Star Wars at the moment is probably going to be background, because this is set just before the opening of the original film. And it's the story revolves. I mean, we haven't really been given anything at the moment, but, you know, rumor is, and I think they're very strong on this, is that it deals with the team of rebels who stole the plans for the Death Star. And I mean, oh yeah, it's giving an background story for who stole the plans. But in a way, it's kind of cool, because we get to see characters that we've never seen before. It's going to be like, I see this as being a bit of a like the series Rebels. You know, yes, Darth Vader is in it, but he's a background character and comes in every now and then. And I think that's what's going to happen with this. Rumor is it that not only Vader, but Grand Moff Tarkin will make appearances. They're not going to be main roles, but they're going to be there as background villains. The cast for this is really cool. Again, we've got another female lead in Felicity Jones. I think she's going to be fantastic. We've got the uber sexy and just absolutely talented Mads Mikkelsen, who is, yes, in a Star Wars film. And the big win for me is who the director is, and it's Gareth Edwards, who just killed it with Monsters and Godzilla. And I think, you know, this guy's just going up the ladder. Like, you know, he went from a next to no budget film that he did the effects himself with Monsters to being given the reins of Godzilla, and now he's been given the reins of a Star Wars film. And in all honesty, if I'm speaking truthfully, of all the spin-off films that they've been talking about, you know, there's two more to come. This is the only interesting one, because I don't want a prequel on Han Solo or Obi-Wan Kenobi or anything like that. You get enough of Han Solo in the films to not want to know anything else about him. You know enough about him that anything else is going to be overkill. So this film's kind of, like I said, it's very much going to be like Rebels. And I think it's got the potential to do very, very well. I mean, it is the number one most anticipated film of the year. And I don't know many other people that are as excited as I am, because, again, like with Force Awakens, I did what anyone with a fucking brain would do and actually follow this closely enough, because, again, they're not giving out enough to ruin it unless some idiot does something. They're keeping it much more under wraps than The Force Awakens. And, you know, I have been following along even back in its developmental stages. So I kind of got a bit of a knowledge of where they're going and all of that. And it does look, to be honest, it sounds so cool and fun. And the fact that we're going to see the original Stormtrooper outfits once again on the big screen is just going to be fucking ace. So I'm very, very excited. Awesome. This film's going to be great.
Awesome. And what about you, B? What are the most anticipated for this month?
Oh, I am certainly looking forward towards Rogue One, just on what Chris has said. These are a bunch of people that we have never seen before, and this takes place before the events of A New Hope. And look, this film could easily be like one of the best science fiction movies, as well as one of the best dramas, because, you know, this is basically going to be, you know, a suicide mission for these folks who are stealing the Battlestar plan. So it is going to be very, very fascinating. And as on another note, as a video game fan, Assassin's Creed has me interested. It doesn't have me frothing at the mouth, but as a fan of the games and the fact that this film isn't actually going to be adapting any of the stories in what we already have in the game's canon, it's very intriguing. Like, it takes place during like the bloody Spanish Inquisition, one of the most tumultuous events in human history, and you've got Michael Fassbender and Marion Cotillard in it. Like, you know, it's got me... It's got me intrigued. It really, really does. So here's hoping this video game adaptation will do justice to its benefactor. But time will tell.
Awesome. I'm definitely Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. I think Gareth Edwards. Sorry, I always get those two confused.
Just because they're both Welshmen doesn't mean you have to be a racist.
Well, they shouldn't have been named Gareth, but anyways, that's all.
Well, everyone in Wales is named Gareth.
Well, that is true.
I've got cousins that are named Gareth.
That is true. But I'm definitely excited for this one. Again, like what you both said, it's new. Even though it kind of tells us kind of like what happened, like set before the events of A New Hope, But having sort of a bunch of new characters who have, it's a great cast they got up. Like, besides Felicity Jones and Mads Mikkelsen, it's Ben Mendelsohn, Forrest Whitaker, Riz Ahmed, Diego Luna, Donnie Yen, Alan Tudyk, and it's a great cast they've assembled, and I'm really excited to see how that turns out. And also Assassin's Creed, I'm curious about as well. I have played the games a bit. I wouldn't say I'm a huge fan, but I'm definitely curious to see how it turns out, especially with Justin Cozell, who is, of course, the Australian director behind Snowtown and Macbeth, which he did such a great job with both those films, and I'm really excited to see how that turns out. And of course, another one I'm excited about is Passengers, which is based on a script that has been in development for a couple of years now, and it's had tons of directors attached to it, including David Fincher, and it's coming out this year with Jennifer Lawrence and Chris Pratt, and I've heard really good things about the script, so I'm curious to see how that one turns out. So, yeah, that's our rundown of the films of 2016. Like I said, there's still tons of films that haven't got release dates yet. You know, like either they're still in development or still filming, or they're just doing the film festival circuit at the moment. Like, for example, Nicholas Winding Refn's new film, The Neon Demon.
Oh, yes. I cannot wait for when they announce a date for that. Oh.
So that'll be out this year. And there's a whole bunch of other ones I can't think of at the top of my head at the moment, but there's a lot of really good stuff out there.
John Wick 2.
Oh, yes, John Wick 2. I almost forgot about that one.
Yeah.
So that'll be out. I assume that'll be out late this year. So if not, maybe early next year, but we shall see. But now to wrap up the episode, I'm going to ask you two, what are your five, out of all the films that we've just mentioned on the show so far, what are your five most anticipated films? They don't have to be sort of a, like, you know, like a five for one. It can just be like in any order in particular. So, B, which are your five most anticipated films of 2016?
Okay, this is going to be a little difficult, but I'll give it a go. Deadpool, Suicide Squad, Conjuring 2, I forget all these things at the moment. You know what? Screw it. I'm not going to give a list. I'm going to watch what I want to watch, and I will put a goddamn review on supermarcy.com. That's right.
Damn straight. Chris, what about you? What is your most anticipated, five most anticipated films of this year?
I'm going to say be damned to your five number of fives, and I'm just going to spit out what I'm desperate for, and that is Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice, Suicide Squad, Warcraft, Ninja Turtles, Conjuring 2, Neon Demon, John Wick 2, Star Rogue One. I think I said Warcraft, but I'll say it again. And yeah, damn you and your number five.
I would say my five most anticipated films of this year are definitely Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice, Suicide Squad, Captain America, Civil War, Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, and I'm just going to put it out there, Kubo and the Two Strings. That's definitely my five most anticipated films for this year. And like I said, go check out the Kubo and the Two Strings trailer and just be amazed how awesome it looks. But, yep.
And if you have any hate mail, please send it to me because I will fight you.
Yep, we're going to, I'm going to put your email in the show notes and then everyone can send you hate mail to them.
Oh, this is going to be fun.
But
I haven't had a fight like that in a while.
Well, that's our episode for today. I hope all of our listeners enjoyed our sort of talking about movies, our mini debates, and just remember, guys, it's all in good fun. We don't really mean what we say. Oh, well, you know, in terms of like, you know, you suck or you suck and stuff like that, but it's all in good fun. But before we wrap up the show, B, where can people find you on the internet this week?
Okay, you can find me on supermaster.com doing my thing. You may also find me on Wolf in a Gorilla Suit under the moniker of Lilith Sinclair, as well as More Horror. And I also do a bit of a stint for adventureamigos.net. And I'm on Twitter, so I'm Da Boomcat, that is D-A underscore Boomcat, and there's cat with a K, not with a C. Christopher, where can we find you?
You can find me in Melbourne, Victoria, somewhere in the suburbs of Bryhill in Greensboro. I probably won't be that active on the internet, but if there is anything by me, you can find it on supermarcy.com. There'll probably be a couple of reviews for Ninja Scroll and Sailor Moon Part 1 coming up in the near future. Apart from that, I don't really use my Twitter account that much, so yeah, same with Instagram. But I'll just be, you know, causing havoc and mayhem and fighting geeks that need to be put in their place. So, yeah.
I think you should be the new host of Russell Crowe's Fighting Round the World.
Actually, I have been approached. I didn't want to say this, but I have been approached by the producers. And, yeah, we're going on with a new show for that. So, yeah.
Awesome. I look forward to that.
yeah, there'll be many a fight.
Sweet. Now for me, well, first off, before I get to myself, you can find all of our, I'll start myself off. Sorry. Sorry. It's been a long day. But anyways, you can find me at my Twitter page at twitter.com/BeJamine, or my Facebook page at facebook.com/BeJamine, or my fan page at facebook.com/TerribleAussie. And of course, you can find my weekly writings at supermarcy.com. And I promise in the next week or so, my top 10 best and worst of list of 2015 will be unleashed, so you can read it all in your full glory. But I just got to sort of catch up on some last minute films, both the good and the bad, before that list is finalized. But in terms of the actual show itself, you can find all of our episodes at supermarcy.com, or you can download the episodes at our iTunes page. So just look up Super Marcy Super Podcast. You can download all the episodes there. And as well as you can check out our Facebook page at facebook.com/sm.com/superpodcast. And of course, if you want to check out the hilarity, check out the Twitter pages for Awkward Film Pauses at Awkward Pauses 1, and as well as Werner Herzog Reviews at Werner H Reviews, to see some really funny stuff there. So, yep, that's the end of our episode again. I mean, today. I hope you, like, once again, I hope you guys all enjoyed it, and we'll see you all later. See you, everyone.
Bye.
Au revoir.
Bye.